The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And guys, I don't know if you've noticed this. I have noticed this recently. I don't know if you've noticed this. The media seems to have a bias against Donald Trump. Do you find that to be true as well? Now, I know that seems incredible, but you know, before we had these whistleblower rumors come out, I'd like to read to you a story that I spied earlier this week in Newsweek. I think this is a very important story. I mean, the whistleblower story is important, but this is even more important. This is from Newsweek. This story, which, you know, I'm surprised this hasn't really gotten a little bit more traction, was printed at 9/16/19 at 8:40 a.m. For me, that's the crack of dawn, Eastern Time. This is by ace reporter David Brennan. Here it is. Politics, Newsweek, the political section. Donald Trump stole pancakes and forgot a relative was dead while visiting family, cousin says. You know, this son of a bitch, you know, you think you know a man, and then it turns out that he was a bad. Let me read you this very, you know, personal and very convincing story about Donald Trump's character. This was told by 79-year-old Alice McKay. And she says, she told the Scottish paper, The National, quote, "I don't like that man at all. He's so unlike his mother and father." She recalled Mary and Fred Trump were lovely parents. I don't know what went wrong with him. My mom and dad were second cousins. Every time they were over here, they came to ours for dinner. Now, she recalled one morning when the future president committed two social faux pas in quick succession. Again, quoting, "He was here one morning. I was busy making pancakes, and he had forgotten my husband had died," she said. "He put a few pancakes in his pocket and never said cheerio or anything." He never said cheerio or anything. I mean, if that doesn't put the final, you know, nail in the coffin of Trump's character, I don't know what it's going to take to convince you people that this president is a bad dude, as Joe Biden would say. Have you heard about this? Joe Biden has come out. I mean, I hate to leave the pancake story, but this is gold also. So Joe Biden came out and he's giving a speech. Now, you know, I see that this speech was actually recorded on June 26, 2017, and this is a clip of that speech from the, and it was recorded at the Aquatic Center dedication. So I don't really know the whole background of this clip. Apparently, there was a pool, and they turned into an aquatic center, I guess, and so now they're dedicating it to Joe Biden. So he goes out there, and then he tells a bunch of story about race relations, and this segment that made the rounds this week has been very, people have been playing it and joking and laughing about it. I don't know why it's come out suddenly, but maybe they're like trying to get Joe Biden knocked down a little bit and get Elizabeth Warren up there. But anyway, it's been released, so I figured I'd talk about it and let you guys hear it, because it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of odd that he would bring this story up. So Joe Biden worked as a lifeguard when he was much younger at this aquatic center. And he has a run-in with a guy named Corn Pop. So we'll pick it up and let Joe explain it here.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, you see how things have changed? One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off. Well, he came off, and he said, I'll meet you outside. My car, this was mostly, these were all public housing behind it. My car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate. And he said, I'll be waiting for you. He was waiting for three guys in straight razors. Not a joke.
So I'm going to let Joe continue with the story, but just real quick, you know, when he started this speech, he told all these children that are around this area, and there's a bunch of black kids just surrounding Joe Biden right now. So it's just, and then he's telling this story. It's just kind of bizarre, but I'll let him pick it up. But just, you know, realize what's happening here. Oh, yeah. And when he called that guy Esther, he's referring to Esther Williams, which was an actress back in like the 40s or something like that. She was I think she was like an Olympic swimmer or a really good swimmer. She was known for swimming, basically. At that time, she was in movies with swimming and did scenes with swimming. Okay. So a pretty good insult, actually.
There's a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse, the only white guy, and he did all the pools. He was the mechanic. And I said, what am I going to do? He said, come down here in the basement where mechanics, where all the pool filter is. You know, the chain, there used to be a chain that went across the deep end. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, if you don't come back. And he was right.
All right, so real quick, that wasn't Joe Biden saying that. That is this mechanic, pool mechanic, or whatever you call him, giving Joe Biden a length of chain and then telling him what to say. All right, so then here's the part that actually happened that Joe did.
So I walked out with the chain, and I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. And I looked at them, but I was smart then. I said, first of all, I said, when I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again, but I shouldn't have called you Esther Williams. I apologize for that. I apologize, but I didn't know that apology was going to work. He said, you apologize to me? I said, I apologize for that, not for throwing you out. But I apologize for what I said. He said, okay, close the straight razor, and my heart began to beat again.
Yeah, okay. So then he tells that story and then just drops it and doesn't reference it again for the rest of the time. And then he tells a story, another story, and then he says this, unrelated to any other story.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs. That turned blonde in the sun, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
You know, they don't call him Creepy Joe for nothing, right? What is happening? I know you listening probably think, well, Edman is playing one thing after another. I'm sure there's some common thread that joins these stories together, but there kind of really isn't. If you watch the whole speech, it's really not much more coherent than these clips that I'm playing for you right now. So, you know, but again, I saw that this was recorded a while back, so I don't know why this Corn Pop story has been making the round this week. Sometimes I think that, you know, the press is delving into the history of somebody and they just see something interesting and then they just publish it and they don't bother to tell you, you know, when it happened, or if they do, they bury it in the story and don't make it the focal point of the story. And so you always feel like these things just happened yesterday. So people have been using this as further proof of Joe Biden's mental deterioration, but this was recorded in 2017. So, you know, that's not really fair to say, hey, look, I've gotten more proof that he's not mentally stable. You could just use it as proof that he was always nuts. And I think that this came out before his latest Creepy Joe thing, too. You know, before I looked at the date of it, I thought it was weird that he was asking the kids to gather around him and then saying how he loves kids jumping he loved kids jumping in his lap. So I don't think he'd probably say that nowadays, but who knows? Joe Biden is just, he's always kind of off the rails, isn't he? Oh, speaking of using old stories and claims to damage people, it looks like they got a new attack on Kavanaugh. So the left is going crazy again. They're asking Kavanaugh to resign. They're saying Kavanaugh should be impeached. And why are they saying this? Well, this social justice warrior dude, this, you know, guy who's like really for far left causes, he's come out and he's accused Kavanaugh, saying that he was at a party with him a long time ago. This was a classmate of Kavanaugh's. Let me see in the story where this is. This is, I'm reading this off of Yahoo News. Let's see. This story includes a previously unreported accusation from someone who said he witnessed, someone said, can you please give me the name of the person? Unbelievable. You know, how does a press room function nowadays that you could actually write an entire story about somebody, especially something that's potentially a smear like this against Kavanaugh, and not write the name of the person who's making the damn accusation? It's just, it's so annoying. All right, let me get to Breitbart News. I'm sure a rightist source will, a conservative source will out the name of the person. Here it is. All right. Max Steyer is the name of the accuser. So Max Steyer is a leftist, and he's claiming that he saw Kavanaugh. Guys, I'm so sorry that I have to even say these words, okay? But this is the accusation. This is from someone who said he witnessed this. Max Steyer says he witnessed Kavanaugh's friends push his penis into the hands of a female student. Wow. I mean, first of all, that visual is not appealing. Second of all, the visual is sort of hard to create. I mean, it pushed, I mean, Kavanaugh's friends, the person says friends with an S, so that's like at least two pairs of hands doing that. So Kavanaugh's gotta, let's just put it this way. Kavanaugh hasn't served on the Supreme Court long, but he is long. So, but the thing is that this is another completely unsubstantiated claim. Other than Max Steyer, there's no witnesses. The person in question, the lady, says she doesn't remember this at all. There's just nothing behind it. And the New York Times comes out, oh my goodness, the New York Times comes out with a tweet. Now, this is the New York Times opinion here. Where is this thing? Oh my God, this is just so embarrassing. New York Times apparently did a, this is the 14th of September that they wrote this. This is their Twitter account, New York Times Opinion. Having a penis thrust in your face at a drunken dorm party may seem like harmless fun, but when Brett Kavanaugh did it to her, Deborah Ramirez says, it confirmed that she didn't belong at Yale in the first place. Now, how do I even tackle this? First thing is that that tweet is ridiculous. It might seem like harmless fun. Does it really? Is it harmless fun? I mean, I don't know. I guess if you're into that lifestyle, I guess it is harmless fun, right? I mean, what could happen? Just, you know, having it shoved in your face, it's probably, you know, who doesn't hurt, really? I mean, as long as you don't poke your eye on it. But Deborah Ramirez is one of the old accusers of Kavanaugh. And she testified, this is a person whose friend came out and said that her best friend came out and said Ramirez never mentioned an incident to her regarding Kavanaugh and thinks that it might be politically motivated. So that's pretty funny. They're using a debunked claim to prop up another debunked claim. It's just odd. I mean, that's just a state of things today in the press that's so sensationalist, so ridiculous. It's like this whistleblower claim now with Trump. This is another one here. So there's a whistleblower. You should have seen when Maddow first, when I first saw this. Maddow comes on and says that a whistleblower has made some claims against Trump. We don't know who it is. We don't know what they're claiming, but we know it's big. And so we thought that, you know, that we should report it. And then somehow spins that in like a half-hour diatribe. I mean, I've already covered, what, 3-4 different topics. And I'm right now hitting the 15-minute mark. So how is it possible that you're taking this story, this zero-nothing story, reporting it as if it's news, and have a you know, half-hour-long segment, hour-long segment, whatever they're doing on this garbage? I mean, if you don't even have a name, then where are you at? It's craziness. So this whistleblower has come out and claims that, apparently, from what I've gathered, again, you know, every story I read on this is just vague nonsense. But a whistleblower has come out and claims that Trump is conspiring with a foreign power to get evidence to smear Joe Biden's son with. All right. So now I read in a story that back when Joe Biden was vice president, Joe Biden was tackling corruption in the Ukraine. And so because of that, Joe Biden gets this, who was it? Gets this guy ousted. The person who was ousted was wanting to, the story says, had his eye on sitting on the board of this company. Well, once Joe Biden gets this guy ousted, who sits on the board of the company? Joe Biden's son. Okay. So really, I don't know about that story. But if that is true, then wouldn't it make sense that if you're going to run against Joe Biden and you want to find out everything you can about Joe Biden, wouldn't you talk to the people that Joe Biden ousted to see if you could figure out more about the story? I mean, to me, that makes sense. Well, what they're doing is they're trying to play up the angle that this is a foreign government and that Ukraine had Soviet ties. And so, again, they're going with the damn Russia angle. I mean, they do not learn, do they? So this got brought up in a press conference that Trump was having. He had just come out of a meeting with the Prime Minister of Australia. And they asked him about this. And he said it's just more fake news. He says they're going to try this again. He said, but, you know, good. Let them spin it out of control. And, you know, he was talking to the press, so he says, you guys. He says, so guys, please play it up, spin it out of control, and I'm going to win again. I think I'm 22-0 right now. So, you know, I'll do it again. And he's right. I mean, the press comes out with these inane stories against him. And they play it up. And then he ends up being proven right time and again. What's funny, though, is that, you know, I'm friends with everybody, basically. The Ed Man is a very lovable human being, right? I love all and all love me. And so I'm friends with a bunch of liberals. These guys never hear the counterpoints. It's so strange because I go on liberal channels all the time to see what they're talking about. But these guys never seem to stray away from that, from their liberal news centers, and see what the heck's going on in the rest of the world. So it's like they only get half of a story. So I guess these news organizations do it because they know that they're going to keep a base that is never going to switch and just, you know, keeps their eyes glued to the set for this stuff. I suppose. I don't know. I mean, I guess another reason they might do it is when they come out with crazy claims, then you know, people will click on the story and they'll read it. I mean, look, I clicked through on Newsweek today, right? And I had done that earlier when I first looked up this story. So, I mean, that's several clicks for Newsweek's, and that's more advertiser money. So, I mean, I guess that's why they do it. But they're no different from the National Enquirer or the National Enquirer's reputation. I mean, at this point, the Enquirer might be a more reliable source than these news outlets. Because at least the Enquirer or papers like the Enquirer, or how the Enquirer was reputed to be, would only come out with these harmless, dumb stories, you know, about celebrities and stuff like that. Hey, we got a friend who said this about a celebrity. But these are stories that are changing the course of the way that people think, you know, of the election, of important figures. It's really disgusting. You know, Justin Trudeau, huge leftist. You heard now that he came out and he is such a big political activist, all for political correctness. It turns out that multiple times he would dress up in blackface. Isn't that so funny? You know, these guys are such hypocrites. I've got another, maybe I should spend some more time on that because that's really funny, but I mean, there it is. The guy is a hypocrite. It's just par for the course for these leftists, right? And I hate to paint everyone with a broad brush like that, but it does seem like the people that come out the hardest against something are kind of projecting, right? And they're coming out against the way they actually are. Now, here's another crazy story. The CNN, you know, they'll do anything against Trump. Erin Burnett did a segment where she's criticizing Donald Trump for having restraint against Iran. Let me see if I can find that segment because it's really interesting. It's so crazy that the Democrats, who used to be so against war, are now praying for war. Although I guess I shouldn't say that. The press was always kind of in the tank for, you know, for more wars because they get more money like that. But at least they could pretend. All right, so here's Erin Burnett. This lady's such a fool.
Trump's words coming after he tweeted in part, quote, "The U.S. is locked and loaded." Locked and loaded is, of course, a big threat. And a senior Revolutionary Guard commander from Iran said overnight that the country is, quote, ready for full-fledged war. Of course, the problem with hot rhetoric is that it can go wrong fast. But playing fast and loose with facts and words, of course, is not new for Trump. He actually threatened Iran with much worse in July 2018 when he tweeted to Iranian President Rouhani, "Never ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences, the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before." Well, there were no consequences, certainly not the likes of which few in history have ever before suffered. But Trump does love to issue threats and then do nothing.
And then they spend the rest of the segment goading Trump into war. So, Erin, I should write an open letter to Erin Burnett or something. I mean, and CNN. And I should open it like this. So here, I have a serious question here for Erin Burnett. Serious question. Are you a dumbass? Why is she trying to get Trump to go to war with Iran and these other countries? They're insane. They would rather people die and then they get to cover a war than not. They would rather Trump be made fun of than to save people's lives. It's so strange. So, I don't know, man. Everybody has gone nuts. The left has gone nuts. But some good news here. Trump's aggregate approval rating at this point in time is beyond Obama's at this point of time in their presidency. So that is definitely good news. And maybe it'll signal that Trump will be reelected. And if he is reelected, I hope that he stays true to the principles that he's been holding up to this point. The good ones, anyway. You know, I hope he says, "I'm going to really make my legacy a good one," and gives a middle finger to all these establishment goons, the swamp, as he says, and fulfills his promises to us, all of them.